It has been a while. We've been preempted by Gopher football. They play a little bit later today in Snowy State College, PA. Minnesota and Penn State coming up at 1:30. We are pleased to be back on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. I'm Steve Thompson, and joining me in studio, John Rossman, chair of Moss and Barnett's Creditors, Remedies, and Bankruptcy Practice Group. Today's topic, separating fact from fiction, credit bureau reporting and debt settlement scams. John, good to see you.
Steve, it's an honor to be here this morning, this afternoon, and we have a really exciting topic which affects really everyone that's listening today, and a lot of great information to go through.
I know when I was a young adult, credit scores really weren't on the radar. Now it seems like if you watch television, listen to the radio, read the newspaper, you're online, there's something advertising, know your credit score. Credit scores are a big part of our lives now.
It's amazing how a credit score can affect everything from, obviously, the ability to get a home or a car, but things that people don't think about as much, which is secure insurance or even get a job. So it's something that every facet of our lives today is in some way impacted by credit scores.
Now, what about the credit bureaus, if you will? There's three biggies, right?
Right. There's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And those are the three, what we refer to in the industry as the CRAs, or the credit reporting agencies. And those three companies compile information about consumers and then sell it to either creditors or prospective employers or insurance companies.
These companies wield a lot of power in our economy.
Incredible amount of power. And the way that they package up the information, it's twofold. First of all, the credit bureaus provide an actual credit report, which will show your credit history, your employment history, and your address information. But there will also be a component of it called a credit score. A credit score is a person's individual grade, if you will, on how they've done with their credit. Ranges anywhere from about 300 or 350 up to 850, which is considered to be the holy grail or the perfect credit score. And the credit score itself was first developed by a company here in Minnesota called Fair Isaac Corporation, and it's sometimes referred to as the FICO score. And with a credit score, you certainly the higher the score, the better you're doing.
Now, what goes into determining a credit score? I'm sure payment history is a biggie.
That is the number one factor in determining your credit score. It's about 35% of your credit score is determined by looking at what your payment history has been, whether you make your payments on time. And I really hate to say this, but I will mention it. Most creditors do not report you as delinquent if you're 30 days or less past due. A lot of people think, oh, gosh, you know, I forgot to put a stamp on the envelope. The payment got lost. But if you're less than 30 days past due, generally a creditor will not ding you on your credit and report you as late. So one important tip, and I'm going to have a number of pieces of advice for people today, but I think the number one tip for folks who are trying to maintain their credit score is if you do happen to make a payment late, call up your creditor, let them know what's going on. Because in a lot of instances, they will be able to make some accommodation if it's a one-off deal where you simply, for whatever reason, didn't make the payment.
Now, what other factors go into the credit score? Payment history is huge, and I think everyone would understand that. If people are going to give you credit, they want to know if you're going to pay it back. Do you have that track record? What are some of the other factors that go into it, John?
It's a great question. You know, one thing people don't think about is credit utilization. And credit utilization is how much credit you have versus how much credit you've actually used. I've had people that I've talked to who have said, look, you know, I make my payments on time every single month. I've never missed a payment, but my credit score stinks. Why is that? Well, it has to do with utilization. There's a comment from one of the executives at one of the big three credit reporting agencies recently who said you want to have less than 50% of your available credit utilized. So, for instance, if you have $10,000 in credit card lines of credit that's available, you shouldn't utilize more than $5,000, more than half of that. Otherwise, the additional utilization above that 50% level will ding your credit. And the credit utilization counts for about 30% of your credit score. So making payments on time, that's 35% of your credit score. But, you know, right up there, nearly as large is the utilization, which falls in at about 30%.
And I've also heard, John, and tell me if this is true, that if you're out opening new lines of credit all the time, even if you have a great track record of paying and you have not maxed out your credit card, so to speak, but if you're constantly opening new lines of credit, that is a factor as well that could lower your score.
Absolutely true. That accounts for about 10% of your credit score, and that's considered one of the categories that they call new credit. And it's a couple of factors. It's not only opening up new lines of credit. It's also if someone actually makes what they call a hard inquiry on your credit bureau, which means a creditor or a prospective creditor pulled your credit bureau to take a look to see how things look. And, you know, I was reading an article just this morning, as a matter of fact, in preparation for the show, where a consumer was discussing the fact that she had gone to purchase a car, and even though she wasn't going to be financing the car through the automobile sales company, they still went ahead and pulled her credit, and that actually dinged her credit score. Even though she didn't use it, they just did this hard inquiry on her credit bureau, and that accounted for a ding on her credit score.
All right, you have something that causes you to miss some payments. You have a rough time. You lose a job, maybe a medical emergency. Whatever the situation is, you have a bump in the road, so to speak. Is it true that information remains in your credit report for a long, long time?
You know, that's a really good question. Generally, and there's some exceptions and caveats that I'll go through, but generally it's 7 years that something will remain on your credit. I litigated a case last year where we established that in certain instances, items can stay on your credit for longer. If you're seeking a high-paying job, if you're looking to borrow a substantial amount of money, or if you're looking to secure a substantial amount of insurance, the 7-year look-back period will not necessarily be as short as it will be. It can be longer. But putting that aside, and speaking generally, 7 years for adverse items, and here again a couple of caveats with respect to that. Sometimes a late payment that might only be 60 days late or not substantially late might only stay in your bureau for a year or two. The other exception is public record information such as bankruptcies, and a bankruptcy or a judgment will stay in your credit for up to 10 years.
Quick follow-up on something you mentioned. Wait a minute, I'm looking for a job, they might check my credit score?
You know, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal just a couple of days ago that talked about this, and in the article, an individual in her 20s had lost her job working at a shoe store and was applying for another job at somewhere else, and was in consideration until they pulled her credit and then determined that they weren't going to pursue her being an employee any further. So it's interesting, but certainly in a lot of circumstances, an employer does not want someone with credit problems or credit issues working for their company. And in many instances, that is certainly legal and allowable for a prospective employer to pull a credit bureau and to make an employment or a hiring decision based on what's in a credit bureau.
We have more on credit score coming up on the program today. John Rossman joining me in studio. He is the chair of Moss & Barnett's Creditors Remedies and Bankruptcy Practice Group. Our topic today is separating fact from fiction, credit bureau reporting, and debt settlement scams. Our phone number on the program, as always, if you have a question for John about our topic today, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss & Barnett.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Moss & Barnett, excellence in the community. Did you know every year Moss & Barnett awards the Paul Van Valkenburg Award for distinguished community service to one of its employees? Past winners include Tom Keller, Chuck Parsons, Connie Schofield, Adrian Summerfield, Kevin Bush, and Cheryl Riggs.
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss & Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss & Barnett. When the football schedule allows, we're here on Saturdays at noon. We'll be back on Halloween, October 31st at noon here on Minnesota Law. Next week, of course, the Gophers play an early game at Ohio State. John Rossman joining us in studio, chair of Moss & Barnett's Creditors, Remedies, and Bankruptcy Practice Group. Today's topic, separating fact from fiction, credit bureau reporting, and debt settlement scams. We have a lot of calls lined up, and we appreciate that. As always, here on Minnesota Law, I want to go to the phones right now and start with Richard in Buffalo. Richard, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah. My wife and I have been requesting our credit reports from all three of the credit reporting services for quite a few years. And we've received all three of them with no problem. We've never had any problem with our credit, but we check on this every year. Now, starting 3 years ago, I started getting a letter back from Equifax. Equifax is also tied into CSC.
Correct, yes.
And they sent a letter back saying that in order for me to get a report from them, I have to send in copies of a whole lot of personal information, driver's licenses, Social Security, all this stuff. And I don't know any reason for that because we've always received our report from them in the past with no problem. So I sent a letter back to them 3 years ago when it first happened saying I wasn't going to put all this stuff in the mail and send it in. And then they sent my credit report. Well, that has happened each year since for the last 2 years. Now, this year, my wife got a letter just like that. And previously, she got her report from them with no problem until this year. And they sent a letter back to her this year saying the same thing. They weren't going to send a report until she mailed in copies of all of her personal data. I really don't like to send that through the mail.
All right, Richard, let's have John take a run at that one. John, what do you think?
I think that's a really excellent question, and it ties in a topic that I wanted to discuss, which is how do you get your credit bureau? And I know there's a lot of different ways you can get your credit bureau. I looked on the internet just before the show and just typed in credit bureau report and pages and pages. There's one website where I recommend everyone go to get their credit bureau report. There's a link to it on the Moss & Barnett website, but it's called annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport is one word, .com. And this website was created by the three credit bureaus, the three CRAs, and it provides for one free credit bureau report per year. And as far as the caller's question is concerned, certainly you do have to provide certain information to verify who you are. You know, they don't want to be providing these credit bureau reports, obviously at the risk of identity theft, which I know we'd talked about on a previous show. With the risk of identity theft being so great these days, the CRAs don't want to provide the information willy-nilly. So they do require that you provide this information. And specifically to the caller's question, as far as sending that information through the mail, if he'd be more comfortable, doing that via the internet, certainly that would be another option for obtaining the credit report. And like I said, annualcreditreport.com, you get it for free. Other places, I know they charge for it, so I definitely recommend you go there. There is a link to it on the Moss & Barnett website as well.
And that is moss-barnett.com. That's moss-barnett.com. That's annualcreditreport.com. We don't have time to be fair to another caller. We want Kim and Matt and Karen to wait online. We'll get to their calls right out of our next break. It's coming up very shortly, but we will get to Kim, Matt, and Karen once again. We're talking about credit bureau reporting and debt settlement scams. And one quick comment I wanted to get. So you have so-so credit, and we've heard that that can impact the loan rate you get. How do people with iffy credit get better loan rates?
Yeah, that's a great question, And what I always tell folks to look at is look at the factors that aren't included in your credit bureau and talk to your creditor about those factors. A credit bureau score does not take into account your income. It doesn't take into account payments to utilities. And in most instances, it doesn't take into account payments to your landlord. And those can all be factors where someone can have great income, great payments to their landlord, great payments to the utilities, but so-so credit for other reasons. So in those instances, I recommend you go and you talk directly to the creditor, talk to the loan officer, and explain to them that, look, the credit bureau reflects a certain piece of my credit history, but there are other factors that aren't considered here.
So it could be negotiable. You could sit down and work on a better rate.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. John Rossman joining us in studio. It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett. More calls coming up. By the way, that toll-free line open at 1-866-989-9226. You can text the studio as well. That's 81807. That's 81807, powered by Wellington Window and Door Company. Thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett. Available online at moss-barnett.com. And there are a number of links at the website moss-barnett.com. On today's topic, John Rossman joining us in studio, chair of Moss and Barnett's Creditors Remedies and Bankruptcy Practice Group. Our topic today, separating fact from fiction, credit bureau reporting and debt settlement scams. Credit bureau reporting impacts everyone. And if you have a question for John, 651-989-9226 or toll free 1-866-989-9226. We have folks that have been waiting for a while, including Matt in St. Michael. Matt, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I have just a question. Is it as effective to improve one's credit score by not utilizing any of the credit that one has versus, you know, charging things on your credit card and paying them off in a timely manner? Does it make a difference as far as what's the fastest way to increase your credit score?
Question. And I don't think there's any fast way to improve your credit score. What the credit bureaus look at in terms of paying off your credit cards is whether payments are made timely. They don't necessarily look at the amount that you pay. So just because you pay off your credit card every month, or just because you charge something and pay it off, doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to improve your credit score. There was an interesting blog that I read just this morning, and if I could just take a minute to read this. It was posted on one of these credit card websites, and it says, "Help me, please." It says, "I just paid off my wife's credit card. She had an $1,800 limit with a $1,750 balance, never a late payment. I paid off the $1,750 and just got a letter that they reduced my line of credit to $100. So, as this blog writer found out, and I think as a lot of people find out, just because you're paying off your credit cards alone isn't going to be enough to raise your credit score.
We go next to Karen in Bloomington. Karen, you're on the show. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just received yesterday a letter from Citibank MasterCard, who I have a credit card through and have had for 30-some years. And they said that they are going to adjust some pricing on my account. And these changes will include an increase in the variable APR for purchases to 29.99% and will take effect on November 30th. And I have a choice to opt out and pay down my balance if I care to. I would like to know, isn't this extremely high for an APR?
Great question, and it brings into a lot of different issues. And thank you for the call. Let me try and address all the issues here. As far as credit card companies, and a lot of people have come to me and have talked to me about this, where their interest rates have been raised within the past 6 months or the past year. And it's something the Wall Street Journal called in an article earlier this week, the democratization of credit. And if we can trace it back to its roots, it really goes back to the 70s when credit card companies were forced by the United States government to extend credit to everyone, regardless, in some cases, of their ability to repay. I'm simplifying it, of course, but certainly there was legislation in the 70s that required credit card grantors to be less stringent in their requirements in the interest of avoiding discrimination with credit, which is obviously a great goal. So by the 80s and 90s, and certainly earlier this decade, everyone had a credit card, and credit card companies were keeping the interest rates low. With the credit crunch that came around within the past 18 months, certainly forced these credit card companies to rethink some practices. But then this year, the United States Congress passed the 2009 Credit Card Reform Act, and that act took away the ability of the credit card companies to do a number of things, declare universal default, raise interest rates, change terms, And that law goes into effect, a small portion of it went into effect in September 2009, but the bulk of it goes into effect in February 2010. And so what a lot of credit card companies are doing now is, because this new law is going into effect and they know they can't use some of the techniques that they had previously used to avoid losses on accounts that they deem to be high risk, they've either cut those customers off or raised their interest rates now. So really you look at the impact of this law that was passed by our Congress and the intent was to help consumers. It's really ended up hurting a lot of consumers like the caller who got a letter with an interest rate increase to 29%.
29%? Oh, my. Back to the phones we go. It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett. We have a local line open at 651-989-9226 or toll free 1-866-989-9226. John Rossman in today is separating fact from fiction, credit bureau reporting, and debt settlement scams. We go to Mike in Eagan. Mike, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good show. I have a question. Is there a website, like kind of a clearinghouse, that would rank debt settlement companies? And could you talk a little bit? Basically, what they want you to do is stop paying your credit cards and put that money into a separate savings or checking account, and then they claim after 6 months they can call those credit companies and say, hey, they're 6 months late on but they have a chunk of money now that they'll pay you, and they say that they can save you, you know, 40 to 60% on your total. So,
Mike, that is such a timely question, and that's a great question. And we have links on the Moss and Barnett website to the Minnesota Attorney General website and also the Federal Trade Commission website, both of which have a lot of information about debt settlement companies and debt repair companies. And I'll tell you this, based on what's published on those websites and my own experience in the industry, everything and anything legal that a debt settlement company or a credit repair company can do, you can do yourself. And there's step-by-step instructions for how to do it between the annualcreditreport.com website and the FTC and the Minnesota Attorney General website. All the information you need to potentially impact your credit is right there. You know, these debt settlement companies have been the bane of a lot of different state regulators for the last few years. The Minnesota Attorney General filed lawsuits against three debt settlement companies within the past month, seeking to shut them down for charging excessive fees and not doing what they promised. I know that I just read in the paper yesterday that the New York Attorney General just secured a $200,000 judgment against a debt settlement company. And probably the most egregious case that I've seen is out of Florida, where there was a debt settlement company slash law firm that was holding millions of dollars, millions of consumer dollar money, and went out of business. And consumers are being asked to file claims to get maybe 50% or less of their money back. So be very, very careful when you're talking to someone about credit repair or when they're talking about settling out your debts, because that's something that can be very dangerous. In fact, the state of Minnesota recently enacted some new legislation that prohibits, well, it does several things. First of all, it requires that debt settlement companies register with the Minnesota Department of Commerce, so we know there's some oversight there. But it also prohibits four things, a couple of which the caller talked about. The first of which is a debt settlement company cannot tell you to stop paying your creditors. So if they're telling you that, they're violating Minnesota law. And here again, this is on the Minnesota Attorney General website. Second of all, they can't tell you that by entering into an agreement with them is going to shield you from interest or fees or collection activity. They can't represent to you that they're going to improve your credit score. And they can't represent to you that they can negotiate a better settlement than you could. So take a look at that Minnesota Attorney General website. Anyone who is thinking about talking to or is working with a debt settlement company, I urge you to go to the Minnesota Attorney General website. There's a lot of scams out there.
And, John, it gets back to the old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. And this is particularly the case because you hear a lot of the claims that, oh, you can reduce your debt and it just sounds fantastic.
And, you know, that's very true. You know, our attorney general here in Minnesota stated that these debt settlement companies put people into a financial death spiral. Mm. And I know that's some pretty strong language, but I think it's very appropriate. What happens is folks are on their last leg financially. They get a debt settlement company who says, look, pay us $2,000, $1,500. Maybe they even don't disclose really what the fee is. Folks stop paying their creditors and start paying the debt settlement company. The debt settlement company will take its fee first, and then maybe if they get around to it, will pay something to the creditors. By that time, of course, the creditors have sued folks, gotten garnishments, judgments. It really is a death spiral.
And the website, moss-barnett.com, and you have links with more info on this. You brought up the Attorney General and the FTC as well. So great resources at moss-barnett.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. More calls. We have Dave and Pam and Charlie all waiting. We promise we'll get to your calls coming up in a moment. It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
How did you become a lawyer? Did you know the Minnesota rules for admission to practice law require that a person attend an accredited law school and pass a 2-day bar examination?
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett here on News Radio 830 WCCO. Will be off next week. We'll be back on October 31st at noon. Once again, John Rossman joining us in studio today, separating fact from fiction, credit bureau reporting, and debt settlement scams. We've had a lot of great calls today. We want to go right back to the phone calls now. Once again, time is a little tight between now and the end of the show, so please keep your questions as brief as possible. Let's go to Dave in Eden Prairie. Dave, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, John. We have an adult daughter who had some brakes and calipers put in and a Firestone. She doesn't live with us or anything, paid for it on a credit card, found out that the brakes were used, they didn't change the calipers. She protested to MasterCard. They removed it, actually, from her credit card. But because we also went to that Firestone and had a Firestone credit card, unbelievably, they attached it and put it on our credit card that went through Source One. They try to get the money out of us. For a year, we've been begging them in writing verbally to actually send us something we weren't even involved with, to send us a work order, some sort of a credit card slip that we signed. Bottom line, they never would send us that. They charged it off against our account. They report it as a credit bureau. Now, when we tried to get this investigated by the three credit bureaus, here's the problem. We found out that they don't investigate. They send it to some company called CSC out of Texas. And all that this Firestone has to do and this creditor has to do, they don't have to prove it. They just have to say it's legitimate. And they won't even investigate it. They'll only put some sort of a statement saying that we're disputing it, but it still lowers our credit score. And we just don't know where to turn on this.
All right, Dave.
Great question. That is a great question and brings up a lot of great issues. I know we've got some other callers waiting, so I'll address it quickly. As far as your dispute with Firestone, I'd recommend you go to conciliation court to get that piece of it resolved as to whether or not you owe them the money. They're claiming that they charged it off, and I think that's an issue that would be well resolved in the conciliation court. I believe that caller lived in Eden Prairie, so that would be Hennepin County Conciliation Court would be the place you'd want to go. As far as the investigation of the dispute by the CRAs, that is correct. Generally, it's something that they, in some circumstances, will delegate. But here again, it's something where you've got a bona fide dispute. You got to get in front of a judge, and I think conciliation court is the right place to go with that.
Back to the phones we go. Pam, you're on the air. Pam, please go quickly.
Hi. Yep, I will be quick. I have been with a certain credit company for a long time. Haven't carried a balance with them for a very long time, only had one bill taken out automatically every month, and now I've gotten a statement that says that the percentage is going to go way up. So if I want to cancel it, but is that going to ruin my credit?
That's a great question, really a great question, and that's whether you want to cancel your credit. And it's a catch-22, but generally whenever you cancel a credit card, that will adversely impact your credit. And certainly, as I mentioned, one factor that helps your credit is the length of time with which you've been with a creditor. So in that instance, I would recommend that you would keep that credit card, but just not charge anything on it, but certainly keep keep that line of credit open, just because the length of history that you've had with that creditor is going to enhance your credit score.
On to Charlie next. Charlie, a couple of minutes to go on the program. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got a quick question. My son's 24 years old, and even as a kid, whenever he wanted to buy something, we told him to save up his money. And that's what he's done. And right now, he virtually doesn't have any credit, but he just landed a job that's going to pay him close to six figures. What he wants to do is buy a house. And I told him that, or maybe I'm wrong, but I told him that actually no credit is probably as bad as marginal credit. What can he do to get online to get credit?
You know, that's an excellent question and an excellent point, that having no credit history in some circumstances, in many circumstances, can be worse than having credit history. A couple of things to think about, though. First of all, when you're applying for a mortgage, your credit score is certainly a factor, but you mentioned that this is a person that's going to have a substantial amount of income, so I'd ask him to talk to his mortgage lender and, if necessary, take out a credit card, pay it off every month.
All right, very good. We don't have time to be fair to another caller. We have Joanne, who won't make it on the air. Appreciate all the calls on the program today. A lot of excellent calls and questions on our topic today, separating fact from fiction, credit bureau reporting, and debt settlement scams. John, a number of links on the Moss and Barnett website. Once again, the three credit reporting agencies, the FTC, the Attorney General, and that key link, annualcreditreport.com.
Yeah, those are all really important. The annualcreditreport.com is the website where you go to get your free credit report. The three credit reporting agencies is where you can go to dispute something on your credit report, and the FTC and the Minnesota Attorney General, great information generally there.
Great show today, John. Great to see you, and we look forward to our next Minnesota Law program in 2 weeks on Halloween. We'll be here at noon on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. Thanks so much for listening to News Radio 830 WCCO.